We thank you, Lord, that your name is the greatest. No one can compare to the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus. Thank you that there is healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you there is restoration in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you even right now that we will rise in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning with resurrection life in Jesus' name. We declare that in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Let the Word of God come forth. Hallelujah. Let our hearts be open. Let our eyes be open so that we can see, and open our ears so that we can hear, and open the eyes of our spirit so that we can receive the things of the Spirit, the things of God, the things revealed by the Spirit. So in Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I just want to welcome Pastor Jim and our ministry family. Let's pray the word of God. Let us pray to us.
What do I do when you are? Do I sing with you or what? Thanks very much. Would you appreciate the singing? Well, it really is an honor to be with you all. Can you hear me okay? Somebody remarked in my shirt and I said this is what I wear when I have to cross streets without knowing. I've seen churches of thousands. I'm thinking of one in America. It has the name on the door of a denomination, if you like, that started over 100 years ago in the great outpourings of God, where the gifts of the Spirit were restored to the church. They were the outcasts of the other denominations because they believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was all new to them. Some of the names escape me of the history, but today they are dead, but they're full of thousands of people. I think of one in Ohio. And I was speaking to somebody that had been in one of my meetings and he attends there. And I said, who attends that church? Oh, we have the Major General of the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. We have the Governor of Ohio. We have this one and we have that one. I said, do you have a move of the Holy Ghost? I said, you've been in my meetings. I said, do you think I could get in there? He laughed his head off. He nearly rolled on the floor. He said, not in a million years. And you may not be thousands of people, but you're hungry for God.
Amen.
And for that reason, I count it a great honor to be with you.
Amen.
And I mean that.
Amen.
You have a hunger that is so rare in too many places. And you will see God reward that over and over and over again.
Amen.
I want to talk to you today about hearing the Lord. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I'm no expert at it, but I've heard him a few times. I've got a bit of paper here that must have come out of my Bible. I've got my writing, but it's not about what I'm on. But a little testimony before I get into the scripture. I got saved and there wasn't a church building. Come to the Lord because God brought a man all the way from England to work with me. And the building is still there. It's the old Perth Technical College. It's a red brick building on St. George's Terrace. Behind it there was, immediately behind it on the left side, was a two-storey brick building, and it was called the Mathematics and Physics Department. I'd worked there. When Waite started, and now is Curtin University, we moved out to that. God brought a man all the way from England. I didn't particularly like him. No, I'm serious. I did not like the man, but he led me to Jesus. There's a paradox. Whatever a paradox is. But amazing. And I sent him a card from America when I was travelling and living over there. And I said, I thank God every day, Sid, that he brought you into my life. And so hearing from God, and it just takes a heart that wants to hear it. And anyway, they built a little church over in Mount Lawley. Somebody sold it a few years back when I was overseas, and they got $1 million for it. I don't know who got the million, but sad, isn't it? It wasn't big. It probably was no bigger than yourselves in number, but we had great movings. We had pastors who would allow the Holy Spirit. Can I move a bit closer?
Yes.
I just like to see the whites of your eyes before I pull the trigger. What a handsome group of people. Smile, brother. Sunday. You don't have to work. Welcome. Welcome to Evangel Catholic Church. You must be Catholics to start at 8 in the winter morning. I thought, I'm doing penance today. Anyway. But God is amazing, isn't he?
He's
not hard to love. And when you're born again, he comes and lives on the inside of you. And you've got everything you need on the inside. Anyway, there was a man in the church having a barber shop in William Street, just over the Horseshoe Bridge, and I forget what that James Street, I think it is, runs that way. Not far before that, if you know the area. And he was on the left heading north, and his name was Nipsiotis. He was Greek, and he had the sweetest wife. I don't know why he deserved her, but you see that all over the place, don't you? Looking at some of you guys. Anyway. And he had this little barber shop. Well, he was sick. And he was in hospital, Royal Perth. Coming out of church one day, we had a few tracks lying around, and there was a story there of Mrs. Pickersgill. And she was a lady from the southwest, and she was paralyzed in most of her body, and she became famous. In those days we had an evening newspaper called the Daily News. Rigby and Ward were, Paul Rigby was the famous cartoonist, and Ward was the columnist. He wrote a story under it. And it was interesting reading. Anyway, why did I say that? Who knows? And, she was featured in the evening paper as a painter with a brush held in her mouth. And God wonderfully healed her. And I'm taking too long with this story, but... And there's another story in her healing. There was a rebellious daughter of some of a Christian family that got saved. She was working at the Home of Peace in Subiaco, where Mrs. Pickersgill was. And they brought out a fellow by the name, or he came through, and we had him preach, by the name of Cyclone Johnson. He was a big fat guy and preached real loud. And the guy that I just led to the Lord took his father to listen to him out of Morley, and this big guy got up, looked at the offering, and he said, "I eat steaks, plural. Take up another offering." And my new Christian friend was sitting there cringing because his unsaved dad was with him. Anyway, however, God will use anybody.
Amen.
Yeah. However, we judge people. God will turn around and use it. And so we better be careful on that one. And so this young woman was probably about 20. She got permission to take Mrs. Pickersgill to the meeting. Had to sign special papers for her to leave. So all this was in, and she was sitting in the meeting, and she said, "I can move my feet." And the girl said, "Don't make too much disturbance." She said, "No, I can move my feet." Got loud enough. Finally, she was able to stand. And God totally healed her, restored her over the next week. All this was written in a story, in a tract. And I picked it up and I thought, you know, we think. And many times the Holy Spirit is in our thinking. You think he's a million miles away. He said, I'll never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you. So he's never a million miles away. That's just either a lie from the pit of hell or just your stupidity and mine. This is a two-way thing. You still with me?
Yes.
So I thought, I'm going to put this in my wallet. So I did. And I was at home and the Lord prompted me to go and visit Brother Siotis. Sweet man. He told me one time he was sitting in church and God took him to heaven. He said, it ruined my life. He said, I saw things. I lost interest in everything. I lost interest in my wife. I lost interest in the whole of life. And after a week, I said, God, you've got to take this from me. And he did. But he never took away the memory of the effect that it had. He said, heaven is so incredible. There is nothing to compare with. He told me that story. He came out of the vision because his wife was giving the elbow. He must have been giving some sort of, making some sort of noise. So I went up to see Brother Siotis. His backslidden daughter was sitting there and I chatted to her. I chatted to him. And I said, Lord, what am I doing here? And a man just nearby said, he's improving, you know. And I turned to him and I thought, well, I don't want to talk to you. I'm here to see Brother Siotis. And he said, he really is improving. He said, I know these things. And I said, are you a doctor? He said, no. He said, I've been a nurse for many years in the Home of Peace in Subiaco. Ding, ding, ding. So I reached into my pocket. I said, would you know Mrs. Pickersgill? And he said, I used to lift her out of the bed every day of her life. I said, where do you think she is now? He said, I suppose she's dead. And I said, I want you to read this. And I gave it to him and I watched him. And the tears poured down his face. And he said, wait till I see my Methodist pastor and tell him about this. He says the day of miracles is over. And I'm talking 40, 50 years ago. Goodness, am I that old? Anyway. Wasn't that a great story?
Yeah.
Wasn't that awesome? Let's give God some praise. There's two things you gain as you get older. One is weight. And the other is stories. You gain testimonies. When God speaks to us, by the way, has anybody read the book, The Grace Outpouring? The story of what is happening in a place in Wales? Write it down and get a hold of it. Sorry I haven't got a bundle of them to give it to you, but The Grace Outpouring, and I don't remember his name, but you'll find it. If you go on Amazon, you'll find it. It's a wonderful story to read. I really feel you guys would appreciate it. And I think that you might even, in some ways, adapt something to it. You're already doing many things, but this will encourage you to no end. Really will. Amazing, amazing things. A guy that didn't want to be there, but he goes, and that's another story, and I'll shut up. Buy the book and read it for yourself. Okay. When God speaks, there will always be peace. Psalm 85 and 8 says, I will listen to what the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints. There'll be no confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. In Psalm 23:2, reading from the Amplified, he leads us beside still, quiet and restful waters.
Amen. Yeah.
There's no fear but faith. Where he leads, he provides. What he orders, he pays for. Always produces blessing. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Somebody might look it up themselves. I didn't write it down. But in Psalm 23, he makes us lie down in fresh, tender green pastures, in a dry country, to come across green grass. To sit on or lie on is certainly a great blessing. There's no pressure involved with God. Isaiah 52:12. You will not leave in haste, he said, or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel be your rear guard. He guides step by step. For it is his prophets repeating over and over. This is Isaiah 28 and 10, amplified over and over. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Rule upon rule. Rule upon rule. Have a little. Here a little. There a little. And a precept is a command or principle intended as a general rule of action. How does the devil speak? Do you hear from the devil? I believe I've heard from him. Will he kill me? I was climbing off a roof of a house I'd completed for selling. Just had a few little touch-ups on the roof, and I had a step ladder on the driveway, concrete driveway, and I was coming backwards to put my foot on the step ladder and then transfer from the roof to the ladder, and I heard clearly, it is right underneath your foot, so I dropped and fell. The ladder wasn't there, and landed flat on my back. It was a Friday afternoon, and we were starting a family camp that night. And the Holy Spirit said, you've landed flat, there is no harm. And there was a screwdriver in my back pocket. So, I shared that testimony, and my son Mark, who lives in America, when he first moved across, he went to Alaska. He went off to a private island where some Christian friends let him use their home, and he was dropped off on a boat, so he had no way of getting off, and he came down some steps, it had been snowing, and he slipped and had to quickly try and regain, and he heard a voice saying, put your hand out. And his hand went out and went straight through a glass window and really did some bad damage. And he remembered my testament. So we do hear from the devil, and you've got to be very careful and alert to that. So anyway, he was okay. He somehow or other got away. He's a tough guy. He's like some of you guys. Uh-huh. Okay. Look, even if it's not funny, laugh just to encourage the preacher, all right? You've got to know how to pick the best out of a preacher, all right? So how does the devil put... Well, he is pushing. Do it now. Isaiah 52, verse 12. That's the same verse we've already read. You will not leave in haste or go... It's the opposite of that. Or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you.
Amen. Yeah.
When you feel... Now, I felt when we were looking for land, I had an urgency to do something. We weren't looking for it, but I had an urgency to do something about it. But there was nothing rushed. You understand? I was feeling this is the time to start to look for land. And it got really exciting when I had the guys together, and we had a little bookshop over in Riverton. And I got the guys together and shared with them what I felt, and they didn't know what I was talking about. But one guy said, oh, out on Ranford Road, there's a couple of lots of land. You won't believe what we paid for it. And anyway, I got down to... It was time to open the bookshop. They had to go to work or whatever. And I got on my face, and I said, Lord, I don't care if I'm going to be here till tomorrow morning. That was a Saturday morning. And he spoke to me. He said, you were to buy one piece of land, and another man will buy the other, and he'll hold it until you need it. And I said, Lord, who is it? He told me his name, and I was that excited. I mean, do you hear from God every day? He's there, never leaves, never goes away. He's on the inside. And anyway, the whole thing is, it's all history. The whole thing came to pass. Funny bit about it is when I first rang him, he said, I'm not interested. I said, would you be interested in buying land out of such a, whatever it is? And he said, no. So I kept talking. And then he said, I'm not disinterested, get into detail. And so isn't God amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for agreeing with me.
Yeah.
Encourages me to keep going.
Yeah. Amen.
So the devil is pushing. There'll be fear present. What if? It's clouded with confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33, James 3:14. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. It pleases the flesh, not the spirit man. Job's friends will be sent. Who remembers Job's friends? It's all your fault. Your fault. Don't be. It's there in the book of Job. I think. I could be wrong. I mean the word dopey. And he will come usually when you're tired. And that's not a good thing. The night of my wedding, I am married, and the night of my wedding, my parents couldn't attend. And I married a Scottish girl. Some of you might know her. And just remembered a funny story, but I'll keep to the point. Well, there's a funny story. We the ceremony, the church thing was there, and then we had the celebration out in there was a hotel on the right on the river at Applecross. I forgot the name of it. And my father-in-law takes me up to the room. He said, this is where you get changed to go. He said, and you know, you'll be going, you and Laura will be going. So, and I said, okay, where will Moira be changed? He said, you're married now, man. Okay, anyway. I thought it was a funny story. Then I forgot the part I was going to tell you. Anyway. Yes, the man who stood in for my parents gave me the best advice I've ever heard for married life. He said, Jim, never try to settle an issue when you're both tired. It's usually late at night. Don't take on a heavy subject. Never forgot it. So this is what happens when my wife wants to take on a heavy subject. I'm really tired, sweetheart. Can we talk about this some other time? What do you think? You're getting free marriage counselling here.
Yeah, come on.
That has kept me out of trouble for years. Shall I give away another one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never say no, but never say when. And I was sharing this with a few, two or three young guys in the room in my house. And I said, now listen, when she asks you to do something, never if you say yes, but don't say when you'll do it. And my wife came through, she said, I heard that. She said, I've been waiting for something, for you to do something for 20 years. Oh boy. Oh, it's a tough life. It's a tough life. Never mind. Then there is the voice of self. Questions and uncertainty will result. We will play the options game. Well, it's not that, it'll be that. It's premeditated, always changeable, often only wishful thinking. It exalts self.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought they were some worthwhile points to make. One of the interesting cases in the Bible, in the New Testament, is in the book of Acts 16, chapter 16. And reading from verse 4, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Verse 6, Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Well, that was, they sort of travelled north from Jerusalem, cut across, I suppose, what is now... Oh, I don't know what that country would be. Anyway, and they wanted to go up into Bithynia, sort of the northeasterly direction, and the Holy Spirit prevented them. But they kept moving, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. It's you will feel that at times, you'll feel a prevention. Can't go there, can't do that. But you don't leave it like that. And obviously the Apostle Paul spoke or had spent some time in the evening, because the scripture is during the night Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Somebody else or another time, Bithynia would hear the gospel. But at this point in time, God was directing things. It's terrific when he directs your steps. I've tried to plant about 5 churches over the years, and 2 or 3 have stuck, whilst were good. But can I tell you another story? Do you mind my stories? Jesus taught in stories.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to be like him. Got a long way to go, I might add, but still. I had this, for this little church I was in, I had this, the prophetic began to develop in my life, and I didn't realise it was, but it was. Because other people hear it and listen. But I had this word inside me, Bridgetown. And we had got a church going at Girraween. A most amazing pastor that I had, his name was Ben Smith. But he used to he loved the Lord, and he's still around. I think he's just about 80 now. But he would allow the Holy Ghost to move. Sunday nights, many times we learnt some wonderful lessons in the Spirit. I did anyway. You know, as long as you stay hungry for God, It's important. I was thinking about preaching on first love today, but I changed my mind. Or maybe I got it right. Anyway, because first love is crazy. Can I quickly sidetrack?
Yeah.
Remember where I was. Where was I? You do a great job. Where was I?
First love is left to stay hungry.
Yep. And I got to talking about Guruway. Now I'm going to talk about first love. Have you ever been in love? How many people have been in love? One. Yeah. Talk about a love-starved congregation. One guy's got broken ribs. Get your arm. But do you remember? I was about 14. I went to school in Darwin. I grew up in Darwin straight after the Second World War. Pretty rough place. That's where I got all my classiness, you know, that upper level attitude. And here I'd come. We'd been down on holidays to Adelaide and come back. And here I saw Lorelei. Never. She was in the class all the time. I'd been away for a month. Come back. Never seen her before. But something happened. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they've worked it out scientifically. But I saw this girl and I thought, wow. Now I've got a reason for telling you this story. Wow. I mean, my grades went down. I couldn't concentrate. She filled everything. Excuse me. She's anointed. She filled all my waking thoughts. Do you remember it? Well, I think we better have some falling in love lessons.
Yep.
But she was my first love. 14 years of age. I think it was 14. Might have been 15. Amazing. As I pondered the scripture, I thought, that's what God's meaning. When you first got to know the Lord, He filled every thought. I mean, you lost interest in life. He's everything. Now, I hasten to add that the lady I met and married, I fell in love with her. But she wasn't my first love. However, very similar. I found a room where I worked, where there was a telephone. She would work on the switchboard in the education department, and they couldn't find me because I found this empty room with a telephone. We talked about anything and everything, and we just wanted to talk. We wanted to be in each other's company. First love. Then I got married. Anyway. So Paul hears and gets direction from the Lord. Oh, I remember. I've got to finish in 3 minutes. Is that right? Who told me? Is it 9:20? I'm sorry. I really got off the track. So I get this bridge down inside of it. Girraween had been started by the church. We built a building with no congregation. So who says there's a pattern to church growth?
Yeah. Come on.
We put up a building without a congregation.
Yeah, come on.
Anyway, I get this word Bridgetown inside of me. I eventually said, Pastor, it wasn't the same pastor, new guy. And I said, you know, we're finished. Girraween's up and running. I've got this, and by this time people would listen to me when I said something. Sometimes, most of them. And I had this word, I said, I've got Girraween. I've been carrying the name Bridgetown inside of me. He said, well, let's go down and look. So another guy from the book church board, and he and I, we went down, and I mean, there wasn't even a dog in the street. It was deserted. We drove around a bit. Nothing. 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 I went home and we went home, and so that night I spent time in prayer, and the Lord said, go back on your own. Meanwhile, I'd been asked to go on a committee that broadcast from 6BY Bridgetown, and anyway, I went back on my own, and I'm standing in the shop to get a drink. It was a warm day, and I'm waiting to pay. The lady standing next to me, middle-aged, I suppose, and me being a big mouth, I just talked to everybody, and I said, if somebody came down here and preached, set up, started a church and preached the gospel, would many people come? And this is what she did. Praise the Lord!
Wow.
In the middle of the shop.
Amen.
I thought, I think I'll hit pay there. I didn't really, but it sounds good. Anyway, that was the beginning of the church. And we had a guy come through from we had our, we hired a hall, and we had a, we're on radio, and we had a guy come through from England, and we said, why don't we use him? And so we did, and a family came up, their name was Muir, came up from, what's the next town further along? No, further towards. No. I'm telling you guys aren't West Australian. Manjima. Give her. This family came up to the meeting because we'd advertise it. The entire family gave their life to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. I better stop. So listening to God, hearing Him, fruit comes from it. Warnings can come out of it. Strength comes from it. And you get help. Praise God. It's 20 past, is that right? We're finished? We're done? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, better stop there. It's a bit of all over the place, but you're used to that. I wonder how many people have never heard from the Lord. You heard the tug of His Spirit to accept Jesus as your Saviour. Have you ever responded to that? That is the beginning. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and recreates your spirit. We are spirit, soul and body, and that's what happens. And I urge you to say yes to Him today, not tomorrow, not next week. Not Christmas, not Easter, but now, today. Do it today. Don't put it off. That begins, you'll begin as a baby, just in the natural, some in the spiritual, and you'll begin to learn, grow, and you'll be nourished by the sincere milk of the Word of God, and you will grow. You'll get to know Father's voice, and you will grow, and you will know Him. Stay hungry for Him. Go after Him. And stay in church. Submit to leadership. Good leadership. And in the safe place here, I believe.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I praise You. Give You glory. Forgive me, Lord, if I got off the track a bit. And Father, I pray that hungry hearts would be satisfied. Your Word will find resting places to germinate as a seed grows. So shall it grow in people's lives, Your Word, Your testimonies, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, we kind of need a bit of a miracle here. We still want, we don't have much time, but we still want Pastor Jim to pray for us. So if you can, we've probably got about to 9:30, I think it is. That's pushing it. So, but if you like prayer, rush to the front. Just make it as orderly as we can. We still want Pastor Jim.